Welcome to Sipping Success, the ultimate podcast for all things beverage and alcohol. We're here to quench your thirst for insights, analysis, and a splash of entertainment. Get ready to dive into the world of beverages with us. From the latest trends to in-depth discussions with industry leaders, we've got it all covered. Whether you're a connoisseur or a curious sipper, Sipping Success is your go-to guide. Join us as we uncork knowledge, raise a glass to innovation, and help you elevate your brand to new heights. So grab your favorite drink, sit back, and let's sip success together. Tune in to Sipping Success and drink in the wisdom. Cheers. This podcast is brought to you by Mushroom Media, the go-to digital media agency for all things marketing. From crafting captivating campaigns to decoding social media sorcery, Mushroom Media is here to empower your brand and help you scale. So whether you're brewing, distilling, or concocting the next big thing, Mushroom Media has a solution for you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sipping Success Podcast. I'm your host, Casey Hawkinson. And this week, we're excited to talk with Aaron Blosser. He's the founder, CEO of Curioso. And if you're not familiar, Curioso is a Minneapolis-based coffee company focused on localism, sustainability, and cultivating art of all mediums through coffee and community. Currently, there are two brick-and-mortar locations for Curioso. Curioso Coffee Bar located in Uptown Minneapolis, and Curioso Coffee Bar at Broken Clock Brewing Cooperative. They aim to improve accessibility to fresh, quality coffee and beverages that's sourced from small businesses, all while keeping the environmental impact of their operations as low as possible. In their efforts to reduce waste, Curioso puts a big emphasis on composting and recycling, and also utilizes reusable containers to store and deliver beans. They also incentivize their customers to bring their own containers for their coffee needs. Curioso's ongoing mission is to create a gathering space where the artistic communities of the Twin Cities can share the experience that make their neighborhoods unique through conversation, artistic expression, all while sipping on the finest locally crafted coffee. Again, welcome, Aaron. We're very excited to learn more about Curioso and all that you have going on there in the Twin Cities.
Appreciate it, Casey. I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, look, we'll get into the first question here. And so why don't you give us and the audience here just kind of a history on your background and then ultimately what led to the founding of Curioso?
My background is kind of all over the place. It has been pretty eclectic. You know, I was raised in Minneapolis. I ended up going to Montana State out in Montana and Bozeman for college. You know, and at that point going in, I thought I was going to be in more of a science-based ecology or biology, and it ended up being film and photography is what ended up sticking because it was more flexible. It was more hands-on. And it was just more engaging overall. You know, I had tried kind of both and really kind of pursued both as majors and then ended up feeling kind of more aligned with film and photography in the way that kind of operated and worked with my life, which brought me eventually once I graduated, shortly after I graduated, I moved to Panama in Latin America for a photo video related gig as a video content creator for an off-grid community called Kaluyala, very focused on low impact, sustainable living, sustainable agriculture. And so I was there to create content for them, promotional videos, and kind of help create exposure and kind of understanding about what they were doing. So I ended up living there from kind of the end of 2016 until the beginning of 2018. Mostly, again, doing that video photo work. But at the same time, I'm living alongside all of these other people in all of these different fields that are in the low impact sustainability realm. I'm living in Latin America in this coffee country. Panama is an origin country for coffee. So there are people living in the next door because we lived about an hour and a half outside of Panama City. There are people and we were living in farming ranching country and kind of this highland area. And so there were definitely farmers and neighbors that were just having coffee plants in their backyard and would just kind of pick off the cherries and, you know, process and roast them just for themselves and their families. So it was fairly commonplace. And so that was kind of my initial exposure to coffee. But it was kind of never the primary thing that I was down there for. It would kind of came out of happenstance. There was a point where they just didn't have as much resource or, you know, support for what I was doing as far as video and photography. They just needed to put resources elsewhere. So, but they wanted to have me around in some capacity. So I ended up doing some maintenance work, doing some promotional work, and then also put a proposal forward to kind of start the small coffee stand corner thing. Because at the time, the population of the town was very waxing and waning depending on the season. It went from anywhere from like 15, 20 people on site to up to 100, 150. So it was very seasonal, depending on what was going on. But everyone was doing their coffee on their own. It was very roughshod and kind of inconsistent. And it was very unclear if it was like a communal thing. It was because it was community living. We shared a lot of spaces. So it was unclear if it was someone's duty to have coffee ready in the morning and then how they were doing it. So I just ended up taking that over, charging, you know, a couple of dollars for some coffee. And then through that, you know, just continued to be exposed to coffee and figure out how to source it. And just, you know, I've always been a curious person. That's kind of where the name Curioso comes from, is just having a curious mindset. And with coffee especially, it was just super interesting where it was this agricultural product, but it was also science, but it was also this commodity and really well known and in like a very natural, normal part of people's lives. And so it was just very interesting to me, and I had such close exposure to it where I could, you know, go to a bus station in Panama City and take an 8-hour bus over to Boquete, which would be, you know, central Panama, and it's their highlands, chocolate and coffee kind of region. And be and take a, you know, buy a bag of coffee there and then take it the 8-hour bus ride back, and roast that, which is what I did for, you know, a year basically. And we were just doing very rudimentary fire, like roasting, where we would just light a large fire and get a large pot and do the coffee and just have a wooden spoon kind of aerating it. So, you know, I started out very, very rudimentary. And so my progression along it has been really cool to like have newer and newer equipments and like different ways of doing things and having, you know, knowing how it can, and because again, that was like what our neighbors were doing it. They just had the, you know, a hot pot on a stove and just were like spinning the beans like popcorn. So it just made it more, I think, accessible. And I didn't have as much of a like obviously like I liked good coffee, but it wasn't as such a like highfalutin or like elitist kind of feel about it. It was very like, you know, good coffee can be this like, you know, doesn't have to be super fancily made with all this fancy equipment. There are people just doing it, you know, very, very simply and very, very well. And that it doesn't have to be, yeah, it just made it more approachable, I guess. And that can be hard, I think, in the industry when coffee, beer, whatever it is just like getting into the industry, whether that is, you know, are you like learning through it through a mentor or through a family member or, you know, you work a job. It's like, how are you getting into this, into your industry? And for me, it was just kind of stumbled into it, and it was never in a like very professional necessarily setting. And so it's just been like over time, kind of with this beginner's kind of curiosity attitude of just like putting together what this world looks like. So when I moved back from Panama to the US in 2018, it was just like continuing to expand this world of coffee that I suddenly realized. And so going to the Specialty Coffee Expo in 2018 out in Portland, I believe, or no, it might have been Seattle that year. Yeah, I was in Seattle that year. And just seeing how big the world was, it was like all the people that made the roasters, all the people that were roasting, who were actually roasting, who were making the cups, who were, it was just like every facet of the industry. It was just kind of like mind-boggling to think about, you know, that there is a person that makes this thing or is using this thing or, yeah, just all the different facets of the industry. And so in 2018, I came back, kind of started to put the picture together of, because eventually in Panama, it just became unsustainable. You know, it was very, like I said, waxing and waning. I was an expat. There's only so far you can go with, you know, like this kind of small business thing there. So I ended up coming back. I ended up getting a barista job at first. And then with my film and video and photography background, I ended up working for an advertising agency, Mono, over in Uptown. And I stayed with them for 3 years. But in the meantime, was kind of putting together what does this look like in the US? It's going to obviously look very different. There are much different regulations and things that, you know, I have to abide by. different sourcing, different like import. You know, I can't take a bus and go get coffee, in a big bag and just bring it back in a bus. So I was learning all those things and talking to a lot of people. It was like people that were maybe a year or two or three ahead of me, people that were established. I just, again, was really curious and started talking to people who were already roasters, who were already doing things that I kind of felt like was in the direction I wanted to do it. Started putting that picture together. You know, working in the ad agency, it was giving me stability. It was giving me kind of that like background in marketing. And so I was learning a lot there and still putting together the picture of what Curious would look like. And I ended up getting a home roaster, like $500, that kind of, it looks like a microwave oven. You just like put this drum in it and it rotates like a little rotisserie in this microwave oven. So very rudimentary, but it can roast like half a pound or a pound of coffee at a time. And so that's what I was using for the first probably year that I was Curioso back in the US, was just roasting beans for friends and family. Yeah, it was very small. It was just like kind of, can I do this? How does that look like? And kind of getting those workflow on a very, very small scale. And then the next step was using that same one, but for farmers markets. Like Minnesota has cottage food law. So if you're under a certain sales percentage or a sales amount, you're able to operate under this cottage food law. A lot of like pickled fermented foods, like coffee beans, jams, jellies, et cetera. So I operated under that for a year or two, just selling again through family and friends and farmers markets as a side hustle. And then actually what ended up kicking all of it off and really accelerating it was COVID, because during that time, it's kind of counterintuitive where a lot of businesses were shutting down. I think a lot of things started getting their start because people had time. Like for myself, I ended up furloughed from my job, so like still supported financially, but they just weren't able to keep me on it full time, kept my benefits. So it was like a safe situation and I had a lot of time to myself. And so I just started really working on branding, on putting together website and all the things that I would really need to do to make this more of like a functioning business. At that point, I'd met my current business partner, Luke, who we were just kind of in similar, the music, local music scene and communities, seeing each other at shows and, spent kind of time in passing. And I originally had talked to him about accounting work and just kind of helping me get a financials, because he's a background in accounting and worked as a CPA for a larger firm. And so I just wanted his input and kind of perspective. But then he was this musician with a background in brewing that wanted to start, and try to get something off the ground. And I was this marketing person that was, had a background in coffee roasting and coffee that wanted to start, something similar. And so we kind of combined our visions into, I convinced them to start in the NA space because it felt like much more approachable. It was going to be like so much less financial barrier, so much less regulation barrier. And there was a space that, like the alcohol space, had already kind of popped here at that point. Not that it's not like a great and growing burgeoning industry, but there was already a lot, it was already very saturated. Like there were already a lot of craft breweries, microbreweries, there were a lot of distilleries popping up. And so I was like, look, and coffee's obviously already established here, but it was like, how can we do it differently? How can we like find a different space? Because there felt like space within it still. And so it was like, all right, let's start cold brew, and start like kegging this stuff and like just starting to try to approach it slightly differently. And all in the same time, like keeping the impact low, which also keeps your financial kind of like what you're spending low. If you can reuse things, if you're kind of doing it in a, conservative, sustainable way, it actually, it felt like it kind of worked hand in hand as we started putting things together. And then, yeah, it just kind of kept happening, whereas like we did farmers markets for a summer and did a bunch of events. We thought we were going to be this mobile coffee bar for a while, and then we would just like roll around this mobile setup. Maybe eventually it was a coffee truck. But then at the end of one of the summers, I think 21, we were approached and someone was like, hey, we have a great small space for you in this, in the uptown area. It's like 8 blocks from your current production space. It's already set up to be a coffee bar. You have to do like very little work. What do you think? And so, we went from being thinking we're going to be this mobile like coffee truck thing to being like, okay, now we have this brick and mortar. We're now like a coffee bar. And so it's always been very staying on our feet and adaptable, like not like having our hands open so we can take opportunities and not, but also be kind of, again, cognizant of what we can and can't handle. We've gotten a little bit better about that as far as money, as far as time over time, but it's never been a big, ambitious project. It was like Luke and I put a couple thousand dollars in the beginning. We're like, all right, let's see where this goes. And then it just kind of kept building steam and momentum. And and again, taking the opportunities that made sense and, you know, waiting on things that didn't. And so, yeah, 21, at the end of 21, we had that first brick and mortar up and running. It was nice to just have this, you know, not suddenly not having to pack everything up in a car at the end of the every day. And just like, we have been eternally grateful every time, every step, because it's like, it's gotten easier, or we have this new capability. And yeah, there's always this just like, yeah, really appreciation for what we get and what we have. Like when we didn't have an espresso machine to try to hand pull espresso shots for a year, really difficult, not sustainable, but knowing that it's not going to be that way forever, and being like, this is where you have to be right now, and knowing and kind of trusting that it's not going to be that way in a year or 2 years or whatever.
That's great. And thanks for enlightening us and kind of bringing us kind of forward with your story. Before we spend some time and learn more about Minneapolis and how things look currently, I do have a question for you about your experience in Panama. You know, it sounded like you were very, you know, just like you said, curious, kind of learning it from the ground up. Were there any like local farmers or, you know, local natives to the region that acted as any sort of mentors to you about, you know, coffee and how it's grown and harvested and whatnot?
There were a couple. It's interesting because it was kind of all over the place. So I think the person that had the most impact on where I'm at right now was just, it was actually someone who was passing through and ended up living at Kalliala for a few months. But they came from they were like third generation in this large coffee family. I think it's, I'm trying to remember the, anyways, it was like a large, really large kind of Keurig sized brand that's been established, Royal Cup or something along those lines.
Yeah.
Don't quote me on these exact names here. But,
no problem.
But yeah, this established coffee roasting, and he's like the kind of kid that was like growing up around coffee bags, like stacked high, and that's where he was playing. And so he knew roasting and he knew this industry like on a large macro scale, also on like the roasting scale. So he kind of helped teach me what was going on, the basics of roasting, as far as like sourcing and like coffee business and operations. There was Cafe Unido, I think, in the city, in Panama City, that I met with them a couple times. There are a couple other coffee houses that I just met with. Same as I did back in the US, was just like, you know, how did you get into what you're doing? Like, how did, you know, what are you thinking? Again, you know, asking all these questions to people that I felt like might have answers or like a really cool perspective. And then the third one was someone I think that I was connected to, which was a farmer in Boquete, and that's where we ended up getting quite a bit of our coffee eventually. But he was the one that, like, then I went to Boquete and got to tour and see a little bit of the processing and how they're cupping. And so kind of I had a couple different people helping me out in a couple different areas, whether that's, you know, farming and sourcing, or whether that was roasting directly, or if that was like coffee operations and, you know, working in a coffee shop and making that happen.
And then so you got your start during COVID. It sounded like you were a mobile operation. And then you grow and you get approached to open your first location. Now you have two locations. So let's maybe dive into the brand that you're creating, because I understand like you're also kind of putting art in there with it, right? Or, you know, building communities within these spaces. So can you talk to us maybe about like what it's like to experience, if we're walking in for the first time, what it's like to experience both these locations?
Yeah, I think the one in Uptown was the original. That was the one that we founded in 21. It was our first brick and mortar. For the first year, it was really rudimentary. It was, we didn't have the espresso machine, so it was really hard to froth milk. We were using this hot water bath to slowly heat milk. It took way longer than it should have. We had this hand press espresso machine, took like forever to pull a shot. And so it was just, in those first few days, it was a lot of people walking in and seeing this kind of, It's been cool, I think, especially long-term customers, to see the growth a long time and like growing with us. And like for the people that saw us in 21 to now, it's just like the fact that we've continued to grow. I think it's that, like, again, curiosity mentality and being able to like come in and ask questions and not feel like, oh, I want coffee, like cream with my coffee. Like that's not something you're going to get scoffed at for. Like, but then also that we're very knowledgeable and like can answer questions about, you know, things. If you are, you do have, you know, what about this origin, or, you know, why is this coffee taste like this? And then just like the flexibility and willingness to like have conversation, I think, and just, you know, not necessarily that we want to like, let's have like long gabs all the time, but it's just like being in an approachable space where you feel comfortable asking questions, or kind of, you know, being curious. I think it always feels, I mean, both spaces have slightly different feels. The one in Northeast with Broken Clock Brewing Cooperative, we moved in there most recently in October 2023. And that's much more of a tap room. It's got a variety of spaces like two tops to four tops and eight tops where you could meet someone and do some work and use the Wi-Fi, or you could get a party in a group together. There are pool tables and pinball, so things for kids to do and like things to, entertainment. Whereas Uptown is much smaller. It's like maybe a quarter of the size. It's much more of like a take and go place or like just quiet study spots. I think Broken Clock's much more in a residential area, like residential warehouse district, commercial district, whereas Uptown is in this like very deep urban area where accessibility and parking can be an issue sometimes. And it's just got different factors working alongside it. So, Uptown is much more walking and biking traffic and kind of figuring out how those things work and how to, create spaces that are comfortable and kind of work with the environment, not try to like, make the Uptown one, kind of don't want to work against the current, I guess, as far as things go there. But yeah, I think that's the general feel of both places. They should be like welcoming and warm. You should be able to like get questions answered. Everyone should be able to be welcome and feel comfortable. And yeah, and should be like kind of an adaptable space to what you needed, whether that is like working alone and doing something, or whether it's meeting someone or having a first date, or if it's getting a group together to plan something or have a party.
And then, talk to us about like any sort of obstacles or challenges you've faced, and maybe one or two that you're particularly proud of that you've faced and overcome.
Obstacles and barriers. It feels like it's kind of come in stages of like, it feels like different chapters of like, as if for a long time it was just Luke and I. And it's like, how do we get this from becoming a side hustle to be able to start getting it to where it is supporting us and it is our main hustle? Like, what does that look like? And for a long time, it was that side hustle, and it was not something that we thought was going to be particularly like the main hustle, but we kind of figured that out over time with working each other, like what does that look like? And we figured out the numbers, and we were able to get to that point where at least it was able to support us or support people working for it. At this point, it's not like we're raking it in, but we're staying steady and we're staying stable, and we're being able to pay ourselves a little something, pay our employees decently, and kind of continue to move in a direction that is, feels like progress to us. I would say getting out of like moving from mobile to brick and mortar, I think, was one of the first big kind of things where it's like the mobile is doable. It's really hard to sustain. It's very like time, both time and energy, very taxing. And because it's not just the time that you're like spending getting to the events, or being at the events. It's all the prep that goes in for. It's all the maintenance on the things that you're setting up. And so going from mobile to brick and mortar, I think, was a huge kind of obstacle and barrier that a lot of places have. It's like, where do I go from being this like online or like farmer's market? Like, I don't have a particular physical presence to how do I am this place you can go to. So I think that was a really big thing. I think also just being recognized as like, it's still something that we're working on, is like, they might see Curioso, but they don't know we roast coffee. And it's like, that's something we're still working on, is like, how are you communicating certain things that you feel like are like very integral and clear and fundamental to your business? How are you communicating that and making sure that people are exposed to that and it's communicated to them well? I think it is connecting with customers, especially the ones, it hasn't been like the ones that are aligned with us. We find those people. It's just the like getting to the volumes of people, because it can be hard to reach people, whether that is in like direct mailers or press, or like how are you interacting and kind of engaging with people. And that's still something, again, like I said, we're working on. I think a lot of it is just like having workflows and systems in place and like having things flow smoothly where it doesn't feel like you are recreating the wheel or figuring things out every time, every like week or month. It's like, okay, we have like a general game plan for how these things go. Yeah, let's see. Any obstacles or other barriers? I think COVID obviously is one of the obstacles and barriers. I mean, the way I posed it before, it was kind of the catalyst and opportunity, but at the same time, it did have its own obstacles and barriers where we were limited on obviously how we started up. So it was like starting in this mentality of how needing to be flexible and adaptable and being able to turn and change on a dime if we needed to. like realizing that you could like don't put your eggs all in one basket. We saw a lot of businesses and companies and brands folding because they had really doubled down on in-person things or just like, yeah, we just had suddenly had this mentality of like, don't invest all your time and energy or money into this one thing, really make sure it's spread. And that goes down to like labels being like, don't buy 10,000 of these labels in case your website changes or, these other small things. So it went from like things like that to overall, like how we're operating, like, okay, if, it started in how do we get coffee to people without having a brick and mortar? It's like, okay, well, we're doing direct delivery because that did fall under cottage food law as long as it's person-to-person sales. So that's what we were doing for a long time. And kind of it was contactless handoff. You could drop off these coffee jars to people's doors. They could leave you the empty jars. It was kind of nostalgia with the milkman delivery. And so I think that's kind of where we had some of the, yeah, that's where we had some of our, and it was also just kind of like very, no one else was doing it. So it kind of this attraction because of that. But I think that's how we started out. And we've continued to do that. We still do local deliveries because we can outcompete larger businesses on a small scale, on like a really small area. It's like we can't outcompete Amazon like this wide, statewide, citywide. But if we are looking at like 2 or 3 mile radius, like we can definitely make that be at least competitive because we don't have to put in as many steps and there's not as many like things. We can just get to people more directly. And then also, yeah, just like taking the opportunities as they come. So it's like, okay, well, now we're doing farmers markets and music festivals. Now we're doing, brick and mortar. And so it's, yeah, always adapting to the situation and then being diverse.
You still do festivals and farmers markets and things like that.
So it's changed over time. So last year was the first year we didn't do any farmers markets. The year prior we'd done 6 or 7, and then 23 we did none. And then we only did one the previous year, 22, we had done 2 or 3 music festivals a month, and 23 we'd only done one per month. And then looking at this year, we may do a local farmers market if it's in the area and it's like it doubles as exposure, promotion, as well as a selling opportunity. But yeah, like even music festivals, the Driftless Music Gardens, who we're a partner with out in Wisconsin. It's out in Wisconsin. It's like it doesn't do as much for exposure or promotion there, but at the same time, we're friends with a lot of those people and the bands that play. And so we're just kind of weighing. It's like, is that worth our time and energy? On a personal level, it is, but maybe it's not for the business and kind of figuring out what that looks like. But yeah, it's definitely changed.
Just for you, the listener, just in case you're joining us here halfway through, you're listening to this the Sipping Success podcast, and we have been spending time with Aaron Blosser. He is the founder CEO of Curioso, and Curioso is a Minneapolis-based coffee company, and we've enjoyed having a great conversation with you here, Aaron. We're getting down to our last couple questions here. So you've talked about really how you've built this business from really an idea started in or a curiosity that started in Panama. Maybe to even understand it just a little bit further, are there any like partnerships or collaborations that you've formed, whether they be in Minnesota or could be from anywhere, that have helped propel your growth?
Man, I think on a lot of levels, yeah. I think there, I was just kind of thinking about that as you were talking about it. And it was like, okay, it's, partnerships and collabs. One that comes by right away is Broken Clock Brewing Cooperative, our second location. They moved into this brand new tap room and they're like, wow, we really want to utilize the space. Who better than Luke is a member owner? Who better than this person who, owns this coffee bar and is looking for a second location? And we've collabed on beers with them. So they have,
Oh, interesting.
either, yeah. So it's really cool. And like we're sharing spaces, sharing kind of ideas, customers. And we also, there's a kitchen partner that's moved in now as well. So now it's this kind of tap room beer hall. It's got food, it's got coffee, it's got beer. Yeah. So it's really developing into a really cool third space, again. So that's who comes to mind first. But then also thinking about like ingredient collaborations and partnerships. Like we work with so many people that we met through the farmers market circuit, which is so cool. People that we were working alongside in farmers markets were now using their products. So Bear Honey, our honey vendor, the people that we use for our chai, Jessica Tarina, Global Spices. We've got Jaja Wellness, which is a wellness tonic that was also vending near us. Boy, oh boy, there's Penzi Spices, which is across the street. We just get a bunch of spices from them. So it's a lot of just like these local people that we just can ended up meeting. And yeah, their product was good, but then also they were local. And we've always wanted to kind of strive towards a cyclical circular economy where it's like the money kind of just stays within the community and the economy, which is awesome. I'm just trying to think about any other ones. I mean, we just started introducing bagels at our new location, so St. Paul Bagelry, which is local.
Oh, nice.
Fruit and Grain and Sweet Trouvaille are two pastry vendors that are local. Our maple syrup is from south of the cities, 45 minutes. It's Jerk Family Farms. Yeah, I just like I'm looking at our list, and we have quite a few, and it's just really cool again to try to continue to support things again. It's like sustainability wise, it doesn't have to travel very far, but then also
Yeah.
it's yeah within the state and the community.
It sounds like these are also partners that can help further your narrative as well. So it's like
Totally, yeah.
you're getting spices from your next door neighbor. They're definitely going to tell their audience how awesome you guys are. So
Yeah.
that sounds really interesting.
Yeah, it is collaborative, yeah. Also mentors, we've had SCORE Mentors, which is a service through the state of Minnesota, Minneapolis, SCORE Minneapolis, for like business incubators. We've definitely had like personal people that either we've vended with or know through our personal lives that have helped mentor and kind of have been in the beverage or restaurant or advertising agency. Lots of artists and musicians, people that have made our mugs or made our shirts or that were selling their products at the coffee bar. Musicians that help play and kind of help us curate and produce events at either location. It's just like, yeah, again, involving a lot of people. So it feels, yeah, like the whole thing feels collaborative and like people have
Great.
a part in it.
And so last question here for you, Aaron. And I'll kind of tee this up a little bit. Our listenership is all over the country. I don't know if you can if you're able to order anything from your website. If you can, great. Please tell us what can be ordered. If not, we're still interested with this last question, really, we're still interested to know like how can anybody out there listening really just interact with your brand? So, take us through like where to find you, where your website is. Are you on Instagram, YouTube, any other places online that people can go and research you and just, like I said, interact with your brand a little bit more?
100%. Website is probably the place that we is the most informational, and we'll have the ability to order coffee, to get information on our locations, to there's FAQs, there's all the things there, event calendars. So that is Curioso, CURIOSOMN.com. That is also the handle for our Instagram. It's CURIOSOMN, CuriosoMN. Our Facebook had to change a little bit. We had some issues with Meta, so that is CuriosoMN.coffee. And then our YouTube, I believe, also is at CuriosoMN. The YouTube is past musical performances that we've recorded at our space mostly. Really cool. So you got some live sessions there if you want to go check out some local Minneapolis musicians and just like listen to some nice jazz or stuff in the background during your day. That's a place for that. Instagram is where you'll stay a little bit more connected to the day-to-day kind of things going on. Website, like I said, you can order coffee. If you're a business, you can order coffee for your business there. We do wholesale. Eventually, we want to continue to expand it where it's like it's got merch, it's got cold brew, it's got all these other things that you can order. So I think that would be probably the best places are Instagram, Facebook, the website, YouTube. You can shoot us an email. It's info@curiosomn.com. If you just like what you're doing, got questions, I'm always willing to, I was just talking to someone who wanted to start their, I don't know, 16, 17, and wanted to start a tea brand. And they're just, they were like, I've got my first show coming up, what do you suggest? And I didn't have time in the moment because I was working at the coffee bar, but I was like, shoot me an email. I'm totally willing to answer questions if I've got time. And so, yeah, whether it's like wanting to
Great.
collaborate or partner or just have questions and have curiosity for me, I'm definitely willing to help out how I can.
Well, great. This has been a wonderful episode. And thank you, Aaron, for joining us and sharing all those details, sharing your story as well. You've been listening to the Sipping Success podcast here with myself, Casey Hawkinson, and we've been interviewing Aaron Blosser. Aaron, thanks again. And thank you all out there for listening. Until next time. Thank you so much, and we will see you again soon. Thanks.
And that's a wrap on another insightful episode of Sipping Success, brought to you by Mushroom Media. We hope our discussions have left you thirsting for more knowledge in the world of beverages and alcohol. Stay connected with us on social media for updates. And remember, the journey to success is best enjoyed one sip at a time. Keep exploring trends, connecting with leaders, and scaling your brand. Until our glasses meet again, cheers to your continued success, and may your cups always runneth over with inspiration. We'll catch you in the next episode.